It's time for Ask the Pharmacist, and our resident pharmacist, Elizabeth Roddick, joins us. Hello.
Hello, Simon.
Did you get blown here?
Absolutely. What a day it is outside.
I thought you had hair done, then I realised it was windy.
Thank you for that.
Right, let's have a look at some medical stuff. And as I was saying earlier, it's flu vaccination time again. And I think most people know that they're eligible for a free vaccination if they're over 65. What are the other categories for a free vaccination?
Well, to start with pregnant women, Simon, because having flu while you're pregnant can lead to complications, particularly late in the pregnancy. Your baby could be born prematurely or with a low birth weight, or there have even been reports of a stillbirth, which means if that can be avoided, you know, please get vaccinated.
Is the vaccination actually safe to have when you're pregnant?
Many women worry about this, but there have been several studies showing the safety of the vaccine, and you also pass some immunity or protection on to your baby for the first few months of their lives.
So that's over 65, pregnant women. Who else is eligible for it?
Children and adults who have an underlying health condition, such as respiratory disease or long-term heart disease. Some people with diabetes, those with cystic fibrosis or HIV. Another one is low immunity due to disease, or perhaps they're on a treatment such as chemotherapy. You should get a letter from your doctor inviting you to get the vaccination if you are at risk. And the other thing is your doctor might not know that you are a main carer in your household, so it's important to be vaccinated. Otherwise, you may not be able to come in for the... or maybe won't be able to care for the person, so it might be somebody in your household who's caring for you. So please get vaccinated.
So how does the vaccine actually work then?
The vaccine contains killed or inactivated forms of flu virus, and your body's immune system recognises a virus and can fight it if you're infected over the winter months. The World Health Organization, they are the people that decide what's in the vaccine each year. It does change. It changes on a yearly basis, so that's why you need an annual vaccine.
So how long does it actually take to work and actually start protecting you?
It's about 10 days, Simon.
Oh, is it?
Yep. And as I say, it will protect you for a year. And I was wondering about if people ask me quite often about side effects. So first of all, if you think about the vaccine, it doesn't contain live viruses, so it can't give you flu. People say, oh, I've got flu because I had a vaccine. But the answer is no, you can't actually get flu. It's possible to have a slight soreness at the site of the injection, and very rare cases, slight temperature and muscle aches. Sometimes it even triggers a virus that's already building up inside yourself, as opposed to it giving you flu, because that's not possible. Of course, if you have a serious egg allergy, you shouldn't get vaccinated, but that would be picked up by the healthcare professional that's giving you the vaccine. Part of our training as pharmacists giving the flu jab is an intensive course on how to deal with emergencies such as anaphylaxis. Now, that's a severe allergic reaction, which is extremely rare, but we're all trained to administer adrenaline and deal with such a situation. I believe it's about 1 in 1 million for serious allergic reactions, extremely rare.
What about, just as an aside, they weren't using a nasal vaccination, weren't they, for a while?
Well, the nasal vaccination, Simon, at the moment is for children.
Mm.
Yeah, they're doing it quite extensively.
Live? Is that a live vaccine?
Well...
I'm a complicated thing.
Which is just it's a different one altogether. It's a different one altogether, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we've all heard of man flu. We've talked about man flu. We know that it's serious. It exists. But what exactly are the symptoms of real flu? Because we often say, oh, I'm not going to hear about flu.
Yeah. Last year, Simon, I discussed a bit of research that showed men do have an increased perception of symptoms compared with women, but we still think it's a bit of an excuse. Flu symptoms, you're asking about high temperature, over 38 degrees. You feel very tired, usually with a runny nose, sore throat, cough. Some people experience shortness of breath and aching muscles. That's a common one. You lose your appetite. And there are some flus that involve severe vomiting, being sick, and also diarrhoea. So You don't go out clubbing.
Yeah. So really, basically, if you've got flu, you know you've got flu, don't you?
Yeah. I do sometimes have requests in the pharmacy for something for flu so that the person can go on to maybe a social occasion. But if you have flu, you will definitely want to go to bed and stay there for a few days. Hot drinks, paracetamol, that's the recommended treatment.
I mean, I remember when I had the swine flu. I knew what flu was about then. That was... So, you know,
flu, then I'm getting a few people in who've experienced flu and they say, whatever happens, I don't want it again. Please give me the vaccination.
Now, I think I wanted to ask you something. I forgot what I was going to ask you.
Can you
go to the pharmacy get your injection?
Yeah, we were talking about that, Simon. And funnily enough, this year... A couple of years now, the NHS in England and Wales has funded free vaccinations for eligible people to get the vaccine in a pharmacy. You can check if your local pharmacy is doing the service and you can just go straight there. You don't need to get permission from your GP. In Scotland, you can get a free vaccination in the NHS only in your doctor's surgery or for a fee. There are pharmacies who will provide a private vaccination service. I tend to get those who haven't reached the age of 65 or maybe find it more convenient to come into the pharmacy rather than the surgery.
Or as I've done, I've asked my pharmacist to come into here.
Yes, we can do.
You've given me an injection.
Yeah, we can do vaccinations out of our pharmacy. We've just got to obviously document that because it's really important for insurance purposes.
And I think also for your own doctor as well, to let them know if you haven't taken the flu vaccine from the practice, it's good for them to know that you have had it if you've done it.
Yeah, we have forms which we forward on. We do a duplicate form which we forward on to the patient's surgery because it's important that that's scanned into the records.
Now, to change the subject completely, and it's not a very nice subject actually, but there was a headline saying that dirty laundry is a powerful magnet for bed bugs.
Yes, it was an interesting study. It was University of Sheffield researchers that wanted to find out how bed bugs travel in suitcases and clothes. It involved taking clothes that had been worn by individuals for a period of 3 hours. One set of clean clothes and the other worn clothes were placed in two separate cotton bags, the type you have lying around hotel corridors, you've seen them. They then used two rooms at 22 degrees. One of the rooms simulated a human breathing with some carbon dioxide added. Now, a sealed container containing bed bugs was kept in the rooms for 48 hours. Other clothing bags were then added to the rooms, two with dirty laundry and two with clean clothes. Now, after 24 hours, the lids were removed, allowing the bed bugs to escape. Doesn't sound good. The researchers then looked to where the bed bugs had migrated to after a further 96 hours. They found that the bed bugs were more likely to be on or inside the bags containing the worn clothes. So it was human odour, not just the presence of a human, that attracted the bed bugs. The moral coming out of this research is don't leave dirty clothing out with suitcases open when you're abroad, because you could be bringing some of these bugs home with you. It's pretty rare to have bed bugs in your own home and laundry, but they can give someone a nasty bite if you're allergic to it. Recommendation is seal your dirty clothing laundry in a bag for travelling home, and then you won't attract these bugs.
I know, I hadn't actually ever thought where the bed bugs come from, actually. I suppose some of them will come off pets, wouldn't they, as well?
Yes, I think, obviously, if you're abroad, I was talking with my husband about, he was asking what I was doing in the radio today, and I said, abroad, of course, there are all sorts of different insects that we maybe don't encounter in the UK. But certainly that's one I didn't know about. I'll certainly be sealing my bags after this.
maybe we should think about going on a naturist holiday, maybe. Oh, no. Right. Another headline, just to finish off with, says that vacuuming and scrubbing the floor are enough exercise to protect the heart and prolong life. Is that true?
Now, I wondered, Simon, who does scrub their floor?
Well, do you know, Mary and I were talking about this off air, actually, because going back to, I'll say, well, I've done a washing today. And you think, no, you haven't. You've put it in a machine. Whereas, you know, back when I was a boy, my mum had the twin tub. And then before that, you washed it in the river, didn't you? Or something like that. You had the mango. So life was harder then, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think we now have machines. For example, when I get my pharmacy deep cleaned, if you like. I have somebody in with a machine who does that scrubbing sensation and actually scrubs the floor. So I think we tend to use machines now, as you say, the washing machine or a proper machine that does scrubbing of floors. I don't think people really get down on all fours now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you could get people phoning in and saying, I always do it. But to get back to the study, it included 130,000 people from 17 countries. So it was a big research project. The researchers wanted to find out the relationship between heart disease, death, and the amount of physical activity that people did. They studied high and low income countries, and the adults were between 35 and 70 years of age. The physical activity was divided into three types, depending on the length of time they spent each week: less than 150 minutes per week, 150 to 750, or over 750 minutes of moderate activity. They found that the rates of death, heart attacks and stroke decreased the more exercise that was done. The good news is that it didn't matter what sort of exercise the participants took part in. About 8% of all deaths, 4.6% heart complications could be avoided if people just did 150 minutes of exercise a week. That's just 30 minutes a day of moderate exercise. The study itself could only state estimates, but more and more research is suggesting that we do need to move for about 30 minutes a day. I mean, it might save your life.
And it's the kind of cardiovascular aerobic part of that that's really good for us, isn't it?
Well, sometimes when we just do moderate exercise, we don't have too much aerobic side of things. So that's where you're using much more oxygen. But I think if you can do a little burst, if you think about years ago when we lived in caves, we would run after or run away from wild animals, whether we were wanting food or whether we were running away from because we wanted to get away. But we had this little burst of energy, much aerobic exercise. And I think that kept us healthy in those days.
Because that's why I suppose you get an exercise bike if you haven't got mobility, and you can still have an exercise bike and get that cardiovascular exercise without going up hills and down hills and things like that, can't you?
Yes, I suppose visually impaired people, it might be difficult to go out running or walking without a companion. So something in the house, yes. Mm. A lot of these devices end up in lofts and things. I can't think why.
I remember I hired a multi-gym once, and I lived at the top of a block of flats, and I never actually thought about that. How do we get the weights up there? So I had to help the guy bring them up, and I think it sat there for, I don't know how long we hired it for, And it became a real, just an ornament. Then I put it back, and then I thought, no, I need to hire that again. And I hired it again, and it sat like an ornament again. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. If you've got any questions for Elizabeth on anything we've spoken about today, or anything generally to do with medicines and medical, then drop me a line here at RNIB Connect Radio. It's radio@RNIBConnect.com. And we also have Elizabeth, who you can contact directly, which is New Life Pharmacy, isn't it?
Yeah, www.newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
You can go to the website. And you've got, is it three websites you've got?
I do.
Yeah, so there's loads of information there. Some great interviews, actually, on some of your other websites.
Yes,
the
New Life Healthcare one. There's a couple of interviews, yes.
And the merits of vitamin D.
Of course.
We're heading into that time of the year as well. Yeah, yep. We need to think about that. Elizabeth, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Simon.